Hello, everyone. I'm joined by my good friend, William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, I want to find out the latest developments in the John Charles Price hunt. I understand that you were on site yesterday. Tell us a little bit about what you saw.
Yes, we were, Simon. Thank you for having me on the show. I arrived in St. Augustine yesterday at Dear Mommy's house and was greeted by a super large shepherd, beautiful dog. And I got a chance to interview the mother for about 45 continuous minutes. And it was very interesting, to say the least.
Did you actually glean anything from talking to her?
Yes, I did. We discussed, I asked her, I says, have you made any funeral arrangements for your son? And she said, yes, I'm in the process of making them now. And I said, what it looks like, because we did a room-by-room search and an outhouse search and a search of everything on the property first before we did a sit-down with her, and told her that she looked like she was getting rid of all his stuff, which is interesting because her husband, who is deceased, his room is still the way it was, I'm assuming, the day when he died some years ago, because his suit is still sitting out and his, you know, manly stuff, and it's not the son's stuff, it's definitely belonging to the husband. So I sit her down and I talk to her. I says, what fond memories do you have of your son for the last time that you actually spoke to your son? And she told me it was Thursday night. I said, okay, Thursday night. About what time? About 9 o'clock. Okay, let's back everything up. And what did you do on Thursday? Well, Thursday morning we got up about 10 o'clock. Me and John, and we worked a little bit in the yard over here, a little bit in the yard over there, and did a little bit over here, and by the time we got turned around good, it was 6 o'clock at night. So I went inside and made a dinner. What did you make for dinner? Made fried chicken and French fries. I said, oh. So you sat down to eat dinner probably about 7 o'clock. She goes, well, they were chicken fingers. They kind of cooked a little bit faster. I said, oh, okay. But you made your own home fries? Yeah, sliced up potatoes and made them? Absolutely. So I said, what did you do? Well, we sat down right here on the couch. And did you talk about John going to be leaving in the morning and stuff? No. We talked about politics. Oh, we talked about politics. Yeah, we're an advocate on politics, you know. We like to talk politics. So he bid you a farewell good night around about 9:30 or so, and yes, he did. And where did he go then? Well, he went over to his house. Well, there's no way he slipped over to his house. So, you know, when the police originally arrested him, he was sleeping in her house. So I don't know why she would come up with a story that he went over to his house, which he does have a house there, but it's not really available.
Okay, one question here. His house is next door. However, reports are that essentially it's been stripped.
It is. It's stripped to the bare walls. It's been freshly repainted. Even had the hooks and the cords in the one bedroom still hanging from the ceiling where he used to hang his marijuana plants upside down to cure them. But for the most part, it's freshly painted, and ask her about that, and she's preparing to sell it so that she can pay the bond on the place. And I said, well, just because you paid the bond off doesn't mean you're going to stop looking for your son. You understand that, don't you? She said, yes, but I don't think he can be found. I said, why is that? She thinks he's dead. So I said, well, let's get back to the Thursday night before. So he goes on over to his place, and you never saw him again? Oh, no. He came back over at what time? Well, I'm assuming it was around 10 o'clock or so. And what's the purpose of him coming back? Well, he had received a phone call from his friend. What friend? Don't know the friend. But the friend was passing through town and wanted to know if he could meet up with John. I said, really? So they had made plans. They had made plans to go shrimping in the morning. This friend and him was going to go shrimping in the morning. I said, now, did they wake you up at 9:30, 10 o'clock, or did they wake you up at 4 o'clock in the morning? She goes, well, I don't think I was sleeping. I don't really know. I said, well, it's imperative to know when John came back here and told you that him and his friend was going to go shrimping. So she knew a lot about the friend going shrimping because he had a canoe. He had a canoe with a motor on it. I said, have you listened to the 911 tape? She goes, no, I haven't. They've asked me if I wanted to listen to it, but I don't want to listen to it. I said, well, I have a copy if you'd like to listen to it. I'd rather not listen to it. So then I started asking her, you know, we all know about the 911 tape, but that he called in that he had hurt his shoulder before, his rotator cuff, and he had hurt that again. So I asked her, I said, well, how long has it been since he hurt his, because I heard him say he hurt his hand, and he said something about hurting his leg. Oh, yeah, he had hurt his leg before. And all the times that she described when he had actually hurt himself was back when he was a teenager doing motocross. And several years ago, he had hurt his leg, but there was never a mention of him hurting his rotator cuff, ever. And I hammered on that subject for a good 5-10 minutes. So I asked, you know, was this friend driving a little black car? Because, no, I think it was a little white car. I don't know what he's driving, but I was trying to pull out information from her. where do you suppose this friend just came from? He was passing through from where? Well, I think he was passing through from Georgia. Really? He told you that? Or, no, I'm just thinking that. I said, well, you know, that's a lot of thinking. You sure you didn't have any conversation about Georgia or where he actually came from? Or you just trying to flip me a curveball here? I said, you know, your son's heavily armed. And I would consider him to be serious danger if somebody was to run into him, because I understand he has a bunch of guns. So, I don't think my son even did this crime. I said, me neither. I don't think so. But, you know, innocent people don't run. So who do you think did it? Oh, I think Bubba did it. Well, who's Bubba? I don't know. I only know Bubba. Now, for the listeners to understand one thing, if you run her address and you check for sexual predators, there's 14 of them within a quarter of a mile of her. There's two of them living across the street, and these are predators. These are not just your common variety child molester. These are predators. These ones, like a wolf, go out and hunt them down. And incidentally, the ex-wife, she lives right beside one of the dadgum predators across the street and catty quarter from John and his mom's house. So they kind of keep it all right in the family there. So we had heard that from the wife that they had a reinforced attic with plywood and everything, so we couldn't wait to get up in there and search it out. But basically all we found was a lot of junk. So, but in the motor home, which we found was hooked up to electricity and live satellite feed, and somebody's been in there working on it even since my guys were there just a few days ago. And so I do a search of it, and I tell one of my guys, look under the bed. He goes, Cobra, the bed's got a box, and, you know, the bed, you can't get under the bed. I said, oh, no, I had one of these motor coaches lift the bed. It's on hydraulics. So the bed lifts up on hydraulics, and, of course, everybody was amazed. that had a big old space underneath of it, and that space was loaded with small arms caliber bullets, lots of bullets. So we know he owns a .45, a .40, a 9mm, a .380, a .308, and various other .22 Magnum, .22 short. Of course, that gun could shoot both rounds, but bunches of rounds and arrows, no bow, but arrows. So I went back to the house, and I told her, I said, listen, I know he's got guns around here someplace. I can't find them. I found a bunch of ammunition. What do you reckon he did with the guns? Oh, I think he might have took him with him. And she slipped on that one because she was on the phone talking to her good friend, Gretchen. So, you know, sometimes when we are, you know, kind of not paying attention, and I found out that the next time we need to interview her, I had stopped phone calls. You know, every time the phone rang, I asked her not to answer the phone or answer the phone and tell them they're busy and they'd call. She'd call back in an hour. I realized that when it was too late, that probably the best thing to do is let her talk on the phone and be kind of distant, and then she'd answer my questions without having a long time to think and being hesitant. So she immediately say, I guess he took the guns with him. Now, these must have been some damn big-ass shrimps, because if you got to take all them kind of guns to hunt these shrimps, I don't want to go hunting none of these kind of shrimps, I can tell you right now.
That's right. You know, I mean, I'm not a shrimper, but I can't think of an occasion where you would need to, you know, kill a shrimp by shooting it with an AK-47.
By lethal lead injection, exactly. I was astounded, and I realized, and I told the guys, I said, listen, when we do this again, we need to have as many distractions out there as possible for her, because she takes her bloody time answering questions, just like if she was in an interrogation booth somewhere. And, you know, I kind of picked up on that, and then I'd watch TV a little bit with her, and I'd say, now, that right there, that's just crazy stuff. And I would get her sidetracked for a moment, bring her right back on point, and that's when I was able to pull out certain little things like this friend. Now, I didn't know nothing about the friend. So I go back to the 911 tape in my mind, and he said, I was riding shotgun, I dropped my friend off. He ran that all together. So the first part of that's true. He was riding shotgun. And so, you know, here we are thinking that his canoe, and they go back to the house, and there's his canoe, and he wasn't in his canoe at all. And in fact, last night I wanted to see the canoe to see if there was a possibility of hooking a trolling motor or something on the canoe. If the canoe was described to me as having a normal front on the canoe, a pointed front, and the back was square, which would allow a motor. Well, I wanted to see it. Well, guess what? There ain't no canoe there no more. So I'm wondering if the canoe is going to end up somewhere in the St. John's River floating around, busted all in half, now as some kind of evidentiary. You know, I don't know what they're up to. They're up to something. There was a moving truck there yesterday moving stuff away. She's getting rid of all her belongings. All of John's belongings are getting gone, but they didn't let the big screen TV go. They brought that back over to the main house. So I have no idea where we're going with this thing, Simon, but it's getting interesting. And we definitely had some good people there last night. We had Ron from Valentine Bail Bonds. We had Mrs. Seacrest, who actually wrote the bond. And I had one of my agents with me, Matt. But they let me do all the talking, you know, and doing all the interviewing with her to see if her story panned out. And afterwards, we compared notes, and she said that everybody said that she pretty much maintained the same story they've been hearing. However, there were a few things that I got her to enlighten upon that she did not disclose before. So it goes back to yours and my original conversation. When I heard the 911 tape for the first time and first adopted the case, I said at that time, he's with someone. He's with someone then, but they weren't in a canoe. They were passing by this area, and they decided to make that 911 call. And I think the phone was not disconnected by finger. I think it was disconnected by him chunking it in the water. So there's some investigation that we're currently doing there. We're going to not tell you that. But her best friend, Gretchen, did call in, and I got a chance to speak to her as well on the phone last night. And she does not think that her friend is being forthright, forthcoming with information, that she actually knows more than she's saying. And she said it's going to be an act of Congress to try to get her lips moving good enough to tell you the secrets. So I wondered if she drank or anything like that. So I told her friend, I said, there's some things that you can do that we can't do, and that's usually unusual because we can do things that most people can't. But a friend could probably have a few glasses of wine with her and get her to talking, and maybe she could loosen her up just a little bit, because she definitely knows what happened. She's hiding her son because she will not believe that that's possible. But one thing that occurred to us last night through my line of interrogation with her, and all the agents kind of agreed and almost said it at the same time, there may be some ancestral business going on between this man and his mother. And that was, you know, just, you know, you don't even want to think about that kind of stuff, but it appears that there's just a little bit more than son, I love you going on there. He's staying at her house and various things. It's just the impression that you get when she describes her son and how she will hold herself at certain times. And, you know, I thought she was having a heart attack, but she wasn't. She was doing something else, and probably not for our listeners, but it's just weird. It's just totally, totally weird. It's weird behavior. And she was pretty much adamant that John wouldn't be after little children. So I said, I don't know. I don't know.
Now, it is fair to say that John was facing 50 counts of child pornography.
That is correct.
Okay. I want to go back to the canoe or canoes.
All right.
It seems to me that it was only a few days ago that I heard from both Matt and Ron confirming that the canoe was at the house.
It was.
Right. And so where is it now?
Oh, no. She's been giving away so much stuff. I got two thoughts on the canoe. Either her or a friend of hers helped her, or somebody, whatever, might have placed this canoe in the water finally at 207 there. And, you know, maybe they'll find it. Or I'm leaning towards the fact that she's been giving everything to Goodwill, so she might have Goodwilled that damn canoe right up out of there. But for her to tell me that she didn't listen to the 911 tape is bull, because all of a sudden she brought this fact in that this friend of his, who we don't know his name, may have come in from Georgia, but we don't know, had a canoe with a motor on it, and they was going shrimping. Now, this is at the end of shrimp season, number one. Number two, the area 207, at that time of morning, we did the tide search, and you can walk across there. You can walk across that water there, because it would be only be about waist deep because of the tide being out. So I don't know what she's up to. I think that she's knee-deep in it, and I'm hopeful that the Marshal Service, which they were going to go and interview her yesterday along with the local sheriff, but they got another one of those damn Signal 5s up there, which for our listeners, that's another murder case. People coming up dead around there, and, you know, so they're busy. They're trying to find out who's killing who.
Actually, probably the big business is tracking down lost canoes in the area.
Well, that, you know, that would be a better job to have than looking for these Signal 5 suspects and going out and working those cases. I mean, that can't be, it gets boring after a while. Another dead body, what the hell? I want to go look for a canoe.
it is such a shame that you didn't ask the specific question, what happened to the green canoe?
You know, that's going to come in a few days. We give her a couple days break. She told us, she says, you know, y'all come back anytime. I like talking to y'all. I said, look, damn it. I'm thinking, look, damn it, I know you might be lonely out here in the woods and stuff, but we got better shit to do than come out here and split the beans with you. You know, just tell us what we need to do, and we'll get your son back to you. Look, he ain't looking at a long time in jail. you know, he can be back here. He ain't killed nobody, has he? She's like, I don't. I said, well, God, I hope not.
You know, I from the very first time I heard about this case, I went, oh, something smells bad. And I have to admit that, you know, the more I hear, the worse it smells.
Yeah. One thing, a word of caution, too. You know, we noticed that there was some interest. You know, there's a team assembled already on the bond side, and that consists of the bondsman who actually wrote the bond, Mrs. Seacrest, Mr. Ron, Mr. Matt, Mr. Rod, and myself. That's it. We had some interest of a bounty hunter or two trying to dibble and dabble and find out information. So we put her on point and said, listen, unless one of us comes and talks to you or law enforcement talks to you, you don't need to be talking to nobody. And I'll just issue a warning right now. First of all, bounty hunting in Florida is illegal. We will get our guy. We don't need anything except for clues or, you know, people providing the information, but we don't need other boots on the ground stomping around where we're at. And also, this guy is an avid gun enthusiast, and I'm going to tell you, he's probably a damn good shot too, because there was at least 60 to 70 pounds of leads and primers and gunpowder and reloading equipment. He's reloading his own bullets, and you know, as much shooting as I've done, I've never tried or attempted to reload any of my bullets. So, you know, this guy is not just your play boy. I mean, he's got all these, you know, they said they had AK-47s. I didn't find any ammo for any AK-47s, but I did find a tremendous amount of .308s, .45s, 9mm, and .40 calibers, as well as .22s. So this guy not only has these guns, but with the amount of bullets I saw, he knows how to shoot them. So be careful.
Okay. Obviously, it is possible that he has left the area, but you know, my two cents says no, he hasn't. He's a mother's boy.
Exactly, he's going to be homesick before too long. You know, even the best of the best get homesick and they go back to see mommy. And he is that guy. He's not going to fare well too long without seeing his mother, either him going to see her or she going to see him.
Well, that's about it Yeah, my end. Is there anything else that you want to add?
No, we have a lot that we're holding back, and you know, some would think that we've probably given up too much, but these are gopher holes that we're running up and down, and you know, we're seeking out each piece of information, and as we get a new piece of information that we've played with, like the cat playing with a little catnip, when we get bored with it, or it's nothing pointing to anything, we'll tell you about that. Or if we find something that we're trying to locate a certain individual by name, we'll do that. So right now we're trying to find out who his friend Bubba could be. And, you know, she was very good at giving us all these little nicknames, but I couldn't get a first and last name for her saving my life. That was too easy.
It sounds like business as usual.
Yeah, it's business as usual. One of the things she did say in an earlier statement, and she said it to me last night, that her and the ex-wife of him, well, they were good friends. But according to the ex-wife, she can't stand the little fella. And all that was also something interesting. In an interview with the ex-wife, her good friend, oh, she's found happiness in paradise, and she's found a new love, and she's gotten married. Oh, happy, happy. However, a quick search of him finds out that her man is wanted for failure to report a a child molester.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear God. I mean, what do you find in this town? Dear God. Yes, she's happily married. We had to break it to her that he's on the run for failure to register as a predator. Oh, my God.
Cobra, I have taken up enough of your time. Let's talk again soon.
We will do that, Simon. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I appreciate you. Have yourself a good day, and tell Jan I said hi.
I will indeed. Until next time, this is Simon Barrett saying goodbye.